أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها حظا لغيرك. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وافتح علينا بمعرفة العلم وسهل أخلاقنا بالحلم، وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها حظا لغيرك. وصل اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everyone today? Alhamdulillah. We say Alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us another day in the masjid, in this very peaceful masjid, in fact. Alhamdulillah. The time of Asr changed today. So Asr was at 4 o'clock. I think the Jama'ah started about 4:15. So from tomorrow, class will be about 4:30, maybe 25 past 4:30, inshallah. Right? They forgot to inform me today. But alhamdulillah. Yesterday we were discussing a very short hikmah from the hikam of Ibn Ata'illah. سوابق الهمم لا تخرق أسوار الأقدار. Right? Ibn Ata'illah is telling us, if you want to walk this path of, you know, the friends of Allah, if you want to walk this path of attaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must know that your intentions or your desires, they cannot pierce the high walls of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And today's hikmah, he somewhat carries on with that discussion. But we'll get there in a moment, because there were some questions yesterday, which I said I will defer to today. So, the one question I recall, or the one that I will address that we had yesterday was, if we know that everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands, actually the question pertained to the hikmah, today's hikmah. أَرِحْ نَفْسَكَ مِنَ التَّدْبِيرِ. So we'll discuss it a bit later, inshallah. Right. And I think perhaps the explanation of the hikmah itself will answer the question. Let's see. So yesterday we had that prior intentions or desires for yourself that you had, they cannot pierce the high walls of decree. If you want something for yourself, and Allah doesn't want it for you, and Allah has not decreed it for you, no matter what you do, you're not going to get it. Right? So, in today's hikmah, he says what? أَرِحْ نَفْسَكَ مِنَ التَّدْبِيرِ. Right? We read it at the end of yesterday. Rest yourself from tadbir. Tadbir means to plan something or to try and order everything in one's mind. Some translations have it as self-direction. But when we say dabbara yudabbiru tadbiran, and we say like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yudabbiru al-amra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sets things out. So tadbir means to set things out. So Ibn Ata'illah tells you, rahimahullah ta'ala, he tells you, rest yourself. Don't become burdened by this thing. Rest yourself from trying to set everything out. From trying to plan too clinically. Why does he say so? فَمَا قَامَ بِهِ غَيْرُكَ عَنْكَ. Because, so on account of resting yourself from tadbir, from resting yourself from trying to set everything out, he says, فَمَا قَامَ بِهِ غَيْرُكَ عَنْكَ. What other than you has undertaken to do for you, on behalf of you, لا تقوم به لنفسك. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't do it for yourself. Don't undertake to do it for yourself. What other than you has taken upon themselves to do on your behalf, you don't do it for yourself. You don't do it for yourself. Right. Now, this, like I said yesterday, this hikmah can seem like an extension of the previous one, and it can also seem like a contradiction of the one before that. It can seem like an extension of the one just before this, but like a contradiction of the one before that. Because in the one before that, Allah was telling you what? That if Allah placed you in a situation where you must use the means, then that's what you must do. He in fact said that it's an unvirtuous thing to desire to be out of that situation if Allah placed you in that situation. إرادتك التجريد مع إقامة الله إياك في الأسباب من الشهوة الخفية. Remember? If Allah placed you in a situation where you must use the means, where everything is it seems normal, you use the normal means, you have to go out to work, you must take medicine when you seek, all of those things. Right? When Allah placed you in a situation where it's possible for you to use all of those means, then you must use those means. And if you desire, and if you tell yourself, no, I don't want to be in the situation, I want to leave all of these means, I just want to go sit and pray and divorce the dunya, then that's actually from your own desire. So he was telling you to use the means. But in this one, he's telling you, look here, rest yourself from tadbir. Rest yourself from planning everything out, from trying to order everything. Why? What is advice that follows on from that? What other than you has undertaken to do for you, don't do it yourself. And this other than you that he's speaking about in this hikmah is Allah. What Allah has undertaken to do for you, don't try to do it. Don't try to do it yourself. Or don't undertake to do it yourself. So now he's almost telling you, look, what has Allah undertaken to do for you? Has Allah undertaken to sustain you? Yes, Allah has undertaken to sustain you. Has Allah undertaken to cure you when you are ill? Yes, Allah does that. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmukallah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one that sees to all of your affairs, raises your children, sees to their sustenance, ensures that you have a place to stay? All of that. Doesn't Allah do all of that for you? Allah does it for you. So now if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that does that for you, is he telling me, look here, I mustn't go get a house for myself, I mustn't seek rizq for my family, for myself? It seems contradictory to what he just told us before. But here's the subtle difference. You see, in the hikmah, before the last one, he said, إرادتك التجريد مع إقامة الله إياك في ماذا في؟ في الأسباب. Right. In this one, he said, أريح نفسك عن ماذا؟ عن التدبير. Can you see there's a different word there? Rest yourself from, rest your nafs from tadbir. Right. So now, to harmonize, to understand that there's no contradiction between this hikmah and the one where he tells you to use the asbab, we have to understand the difference between tadbir and asbab. We have to understand the subtle difference between asbab, using the means, and tadbir, which is plotting everything out or trying to order everything. And perhaps I'll give you a little hint that may unlock the whole thing in your mind without, before the explanation is even given. He didn't say, أريح جسدك عن التدبير. He didn't say, rest your body. He said, rest your nafs. He didn't say, rest your body. He said, rest your nafs. Rest yourself. That might unlock it for you. But if it didn't, let's see an explanation. Asbab, using the means, is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the normal order of the world that he created and he set out for us, when normally he created a relationship between two things, like eating and being sustained, or taking medicine and attaining cure, or going out to work and attaining wealth, or You know, entering a building and finding shelter from the elements. All of those things, Allah created the relationships between them. That's what creates the normal order that we perceive in the world around us. Whenever we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something either incumbent upon us or desirable for us, like being protected, being sustained, then using the asbab means that you must do the action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned the relationship with the outcome that we desire. You understand that? So I said before, Allah created a relationship, for example, between eating and being sustained. It is our responsibility that Allah placed upon us to look after our bodies by sustaining it. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility then is to do the action that Allah created a relationship with being sustained. And that is what? Eating. Right? Eating. Consuming nutritious things. So using the asbab means that if Allah made it your responsibility to be sustained, you can't sustain yourself. But what you can do is you can eat the food. So you must eat the food. That is what it means to use the means. Right? That is a physical action. It's an action of your limbs. Whereas tadbir is not the action of your limbs. Trying to order things, trying to plot everything out is not an action of your limbs. That's something that's fikri, it's something thought related. It's something internal. And it is not connected to the first thing in that relationship of cause and effect. Tadbir is not connected to the cause, like eating. It's connected to the effect, being sustained. You understand? So for example, if I say, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat, it's going to cause me to be sustained. Then with that sustenance, I'm going to run so long and it's going to cause me to gain muscles. And, you know, then I'm going to use my muscles for X, Y, Z. The tadbir, do you see what that I planned out a number of things? The tadbir, plotting everything out and ordering everything, it depends not on the action that you undertake, but it depends on the outcome of that action. It depends on being sustained and having the energy to then run. It depends on building the muscle through running. It depends on, you know, whatever the outcome is, the thing that you want to use your muscles for. Right? So the tadbir is connected to the outcomes, not to the inputs. So he's telling you, look here. All that you can do is, you can do the inputs. The outcomes is the work of Allah. The inputs are within your sphere of responsibility. But the outcomes, Allah has taken that upon Himself. So, to give you a simple example, if I'm sick, must I take medicine or mustn't I take medicine? I must take medicine. But when I take that medicine, when I'm feeling pain, when I go and I take that tramadol, when I put that tramadol in, or the panado in my mouth, I know tramadol because of the broken arm, now I had to take a lot of that stuff. When I put the tramadol in my mouth and I swallow it, I tell myself, Ya Allah, relieve me of the pain. Not Ya tramadol. You understand? So you do the action. You do the action. But you rest assured that Allah is in charge of the outcome. Right? And that's why he says that internal process of you know, thinking things through and trying to plot everything out and almost living your life as if you are assured of the outcomes of your inputs, of the effects, of the causes that you employ, then that's problematic. But what you should do is rest yourself, man. Be easy. Do the work. Tire your limbs. But don't worry about the outcomes. Don't worry about the outcomes. That's what he's telling you. And you know, it sounds like a crazy thing, but many people have unlocked this. Many people have unlocked this. And look, I can't speak for everybody, but in my little, you know, anecdotal experience of the world, many ulama, they live like this. I'm not even talking about the awliya. I'm not even talking it about the awliya. I'm talking about many ulama. And oftentimes that's because, you know, they are placed in the position of tajreed. They are put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the position of tajreed where they must divorce themselves from the dunya. Once I was sitting here, I was actually going to tuition here at the building here connected to the Masjid al-Ibsa. And a friend of mine, at that time, we weren't really familiar with each other. But a good scholar of the Quran. I heard him saying to the guys around him, you know what? I knew when I decided that I'm going to. His father had a booming business that he was well set to take over. But he said to those around him, you know, I knew when I took this path of divine knowledge, I'm likely going to be a pauper. But it's okay. I went in it knowing that, and it's fine, alhamdulillah. That's not being lazy. Because he still goes out and does his work to earn his living. He still does all of that. But there may be a time where, look, a deal falls through. He took the effort to do the deal that should have brought the desired outcome. I did enough work for what would normally bring the sustenance that would sustain my family. But somehow the guy on the other end of the deal, he didn't pull through. He didn't keep his word. So now I've fallen short. But he recognizes, you know, I'm in this position, perhaps because I didn't choose a different career path, whatever it may be. But you know what? Alhamdulillah. He's not worried. He's not worried. In fact, what I found is that many of my graduate friends, and yeah, I'm speaking about university graduate friends, they live very mahmoom, very like restricted, difficult lives. Whereas my friends who studied deen, they live very chilled lives. The standards of living might differ greatly. Or the expectation of the standard of living might differ greatly. But these guys are so burdened, and these guys are so chilled. It's a crazy thing. Because this guy who has 2 degrees, he is thinking to himself, you know, I have to get a degree in this field of work, and that's what I studied so long for. And then he tries, and he puts his CV out to all of these companies, and he doesn't get a job, and then he feels like depressed about it, and you know, he's sitting there and you know, worrying all the time. You know, if I don't get into this career path now, then I'm going to be too old to, you know, meet the outcomes that I had set for myself and all of those things. But on the other hand, you get this guy here. He knows, look here, my objective is I'm devoted to worshiping Allah. I'm devoted to teaching this deen and all of this stuff. What I'm going to do is whatever means of risk comes my way, I'm going to employ it. If it means today I'm selling cars. If it means tomorrow I'm selling crayfish, tomorrow I'm selling crayfish. If it means the next day I'm, running a cleaning business, I'm running a cleaning business. As long as I'm earning a halal risk, I'm earning a halal risk. And I've seen this so many times. It's as if these guys have just unlocked the secret to life. And the reason for that is because they know Allah's going to sustain them. But they're not lazy on account of that. They use the means. And they know that Allah is going to be responsible for the outcomes. I've seen many imams, because of, you know, a committee being bad with him, they walk away from the job easily. And they'll tell you, no, this is what the izzah of the deen, the honor of deen requires of me at this moment in time. What are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to look after your family? I don't know actually now. But look here, Allah is not going to desert me. So I'm going to see you tomorrow what opportunity presents itself to me. I'm going to see tomorrow what opportunity presents itself to me. And I'm going to take it, whatever it is. Even if I have to go do some work for somebody for that day, it's fine. I'm going to employ it, and Allah's going to look after everything. But here on the other hand, this guy who plotted his life out so clinically, he's constantly burdened. Even when he's in his job and he hates his job, he's sitting there doing somebody's accounts all day and he doesn't find any pleasure in life doing it. In fact, it makes him miserable and he goes home and he's bad with his family. He just can't see himself leaving his job to go do something else. He can't. Because it doesn't fit in with the plan that he has for his life.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله.
If only you had placed your trust in Allah, as it is Allah's right that you place your trust in Him, لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير. He would have sustained you like He sustains the bird. تغدو خماصا. He goes out in the morning empty-bellied. وتروح بطانا. And he comes home in the night full-bellied. He goes out in the morning. He doesn't stay in his nest. He goes out in the morning to seek his rizq. And he comes back in the evening sustained. Does he have a fridge? He doesn't have a fridge. Let alone a freezer to keep things for a longer period of time. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, Umar radiallahu anhu narrates to us, if you place in Allah, if you place your trust in Allah, as it is Allah's right that you place your trust in Him, as you're supposed to place your trust in Him, He would sustain you like He sustains the bird. It goes out in the morning empty-bellied, and it comes home in the evening full-bellied. Enough for itself and for its family. That's an easy thing, eh? But it's something that I promise you, if you just look to many of the scholars in the community, you will find it something that is true. They never worried. They never mahmoon. They know, alhamdulillah, Allah is going to sustain me. And on the other hand, you find the person whose life is so well clinically plotted out, difficult burden life. So that's what Ibn Ataillah is telling us. And it's not like I'm not making a stigma against people with degrees. I have a degree as well, alhamdulillah. The point is not to plot out everything clinically. I went to do my degree. To be honest with you, I went to do the degree just because I wanted to get married. So I thought, okay, let's go get my degree. And everybody thinks I'm ready to get married, so then I'm ready to get married. But I knew actually, once I'm done with the degree, I want to go study Deen. So, though I was going to do the normal means, I had my plan in my mind, it was very crazy. So anyways, alhamdulillah, I never worried. I did my thing. In fact, I got married in my first year of study, Islamic studies. I got married. Alhamdulillah, I think I lived a good life. There was never a moment when I didn't have food. In fact, it was I religiously every week we used to have date night. I was very busy that time. I still, yes, Mas'ud laughing because he was with me. I was very busy. Monday in the morning, I go study Deen, come home 5 o'clock. After that, I go do some teaching. Once I'm done with that, after Isha, somebody asks a question. Now you sit another half an hour with him. Then after that, maybe you must find time for whoever, has a right to your time. Then you go sleep. Tomorrow, repeat. Alhamdulillah. The only free time I had was Thursday night and Sunday night. So it was known date night is going to be either Thursday night. Don't criticize me. Thursday night or Sunday night. Right? But there was never a time when
when there was nothing. Alhamdulillah. And Allah just takes care of everything always, man. You just have to trust the process. So, أريح نفسك من عن التدبير. Rest yourself from plotting and planning too much. فما قام به غيرك عنك فلا تقوم به لنفسك. What other than you has undertaken to fulfill on your behalf, that's the outcomes of the means that you employ. Don't try to force it yourself. Don't try to force it yourself. Allah will always give you enough. But now the question is, how much is enough? Like, how much must I be employing the means? How little tadbir must I employ in my life? So he says, rest yourself from having this tadbir. But it's, I promise you, for most people, it's too difficult. They can't foresee themselves living without having some degree of planning, without having some degree of security and assurances in place, without having the freezer full to some degree, without having the fridge full to some degree. Some people need to have a 500-liter chest freezer full to the brim. Some people need to have the pantry an entire room. Some people can suffice themselves with the pantry in one cupboard and a 200-liter chest freezer. Some people can suffice themselves with just a simple stand-up freezer, fridge on top, freezer at the bottom. There's assurance in that. You have enough for tomorrow, the next day maybe. But different people are at different stages of that. So where do we look to decide? Yes, we know we must employ the means. And we know that this tadbir is something that we should actually find the rest from. We should actually find the rest from. And I can assure you, you know, the world we're living probably in the time in the world where people are most distressed, where people are most burdened, even though in history we're probably more affluent than any generation before us. People are still more burdened. People are more distracted. People are more depressed than ever before. People have more anxiety than ever before. Despite having oftentimes more affluence. Like if you just think, for most of us, we can just think, okay, how is my parents living? We live 5-6 people in the same house that my parents lived 20-30 people. But they were never mahmoom like this. They were never burdened and distressed like this. Now, in that time, maybe 2 people in the house had a degree or whatever. Now, all the children have a degree. But they're still burdened. How? It just doesn't make sense. Something else must have changed. Before you could have, you know, you have your functions. The entire family comes to the function. Everybody. And the food is there. No complaints, no fighting about it. Now you want to have a simple eat supper and everybody's asking, who's going to make the food? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Like it's a chore. It's crazy. Something changed. And it can't be the means because now we have more means. It's something internal that changed. It's our understanding of what our standard of living should be. It's our tadbir for our own lives. That's what's changed. That is what has changed. But anyways, back to the point I was getting to. How much rest must we find from this tadbir? It depends on your level. It depends on your level. And Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he taught us about this. For some people, they plot and plan and store and set away things that's enough for the entire year. Some might even do more than that. Imam al-Ghazali was living in a time perhaps of much more pious people. Now a person sets enough store for the entire life. Right? We had the question yesterday. Pension funds, retirement annuities, that's setting, the thought in that is sitting away enough for your entire life. And the circumstances in the world may necessitate that. Maybe a person knows, look here, I don't have any children that's going to look after me. Maybe I have children, maybe I can see these guys are not going to look after me. That's a problem in and of itself, because then you must work on something else, actually. But, you know, if that realization is there, some people are in that circumstance, maybe to them, yes, it would actually be recommended for them in the Sharia to take that step of having that pension fund. As long as, obviously, that pension fund does not, you know, it's not like a haram pension fund, it's Sharia compliant, or the retirement annuity Sharia compliant. Right? Because then you're not breaking the law of Allah. So it might even be recommended for some people in that situation. But let's take an ordinary person. If Imam al-Ghazali says, for some people, enough for them is enough for the entire year. We say now enough for the entire lifetime. Right? Listen, that may be enough for 10 years. Some people, on account of their spiritual state and what they're ready to bear, without being constantly worried about things, is that they can sit away enough for a year. Some people, they need enough for a month. And many people live like that. It's only the middle class who can't fathom that. How can I only have enough for a month? No, there's many in our society, the most unequal society. One of the most unequal societies, I'm not sure exactly, but I think we are the most unequal society in the world. There's many people who live like that. And if you've never seen that, then you must get around a little bit. You must take a drive around town and speak to people, not only rich people. Right? Some people, they need to set away enough for a month. They need to have that stored. They need to live at least a month in advance. Some people live a week in advance. Some people, they can live with enough for the day. And there were companions like that. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. But even amongst the companions, that wasn't the norm. Even amongst the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that wasn't the norm. Remember, I quoted you the verse before. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should they spend? قُلِ الْعَفُ Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should spend what is surplus. So even the companions differed on what is surplus. Some of them felt that, you know, to have your needs for the entire year, that's fine. What is over and above that, that's surplus. And there was a time in the latter part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam generally to have been poor. But in the latter part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's recorded in the Mu'jam Saghir of At-Tabarani that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give his wives a certain amount. Because remember, when Muslims would conquer places, etc., then they would get booty. And a certain amount of that booty was specifically for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get it, he would give it to his family. And if you actually visualize the amount that's mentioned in the hadith, it's like an entire room full of staple foods. It's quite a lot. It's an entire room full. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give that to his wives. And it would be like what is enough for an entire year. So we know that it's permissible to do that. Certainly. Look, what our mothers did with it. Radiallahu ta'ala anhunna is a different thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give it to them. And it was theirs. But they were generous women, pious women. They would in turn give it away. We know of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was given things like that, she would sit for the entire day and give away and give away and give away until she had nothing. But the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to them shows that it's okay to have. The fact that they gave it away shows their level of piety. Radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. Right? So Imam al-Ghazali tells us people at different levels. Right? They're at different levels and stages in their journey to Allah, and stages in the degrees of tawakkul. So you must, as Imam, as Ibn Athaillah is telling you, your nafs must find the rest. If your nafs find the rest after having a year's supply, fine, be satiated. But we oftentimes find people who have enough for 2-3 lifetimes, living lavishly, and then they still want more, and they have no purpose for the more. It's a crazy thing. We should actually be striving to be of those who require less security and less assurances. Okay? That's why, you know, there's one parable that comes to mind. Once a person, a traveler, he went to meet this pious person. And so he knocked on the door, the pious person let him in. And he saw that the house was fairly empty. Not much furniture. So the person asked him, look, where's your furniture? So the person asked him, where's yours? He went to the pious person's house. The pious person, he asked him, where's your furniture? The pious person asked the traveler, where's yours? So he said, I'm a traveler. I can't carry my furniture with me. So the pious person told him, well, I'm also a traveler. The dunya is my journey. So why must I carry my furniture with me? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger or a wayfarer or a traveler. Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger or a traveler. Travelers don't need too much. But again, even in that journey, some people travel lighter than others. Right? So I don't want anybody to leave with the irresponsible thought that they must give everything away. You have to assess your state. You have to assess what you can handle and what your family can handle. And then, if you so desire to be of that elect few, you can work towards needing less. Right? Some people, you can get on a heightened state in your i'tikaf, but we don't want effervescence. Right? We don't want you to go home and give away everything. Right? And remember this is now where, after talking a lot about this hikmah, I must tell you about the other one, right? إرادتك التجريد مع إقامة الله إياك في الأسباب من الشهوة الخفية. You must use the asbab. But rest your nafs. Don't even worry. Don't even worry. Don't worry. Use the means, but don't worry. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to, you know, to attain the correct understanding. It's a fine thing. And I can't sit here and say how it applies to every person's life. I can sit here and tell you what the virtue is. You have to assess, you have to introspect and reflect upon your circumstance in your life and see how it applies to your life. And if you are smarter than that, you need to get somebody who has attained these states, who knows how to guide other people in this regard, and ask them, look here, man, help me do a life audit. Nowadays, people use the word, you must have a life coach. You must have all of these things. In the past, what we called is you must have a sheikh. Now I'm serious, that's what it is. Right? So if you want a life coach, okay, by all means, but hopefully you get a life coach that can guide you properly. Right? Previously, it was called getting a sheikh. But I'm not saying you have to. If that's not what you want, let it be a friend that has basira, that has insight, that can help you. And before a friend, if it's not a sheikh of tazkiyah that has walked the path completely, then let it be a sheikh of ilm, a sheikh who knows the sharia, etc., who might know these things theoretically and who can help you then, you know, make decisions. There's many of them. You can speak to Maulana Muhammad Kahn. He's somebody that I view to have that insight. He's not a, you know, he doesn't position himself as a sheikh of tarbiyah or anything like that. He doesn't position himself as a sheikh of a tariqah. But he's somebody that I deem to have the wisdom and insight to guide people in their life. There's many others, Maulana Muhammad, many others. And you'll find them in every community. I'm sure this community, there's people who I deem to be very divorced from the dunya, who perhaps can help you as well. But seek out that help. You know, sometimes you can do a DIY job, but you might end up with some funky walls, skew, etc. Right? But the desire must be there. To have rahatul bal, to have our nafs rested, our hopes in Allah. The reality that the outcomes are in Allah's hands. We tire our bodies, like I said before, al jawarihu ta'mal, your limbs work, wal qulub, and your heart tatawakkal. They rest in the knowledge that everything is in Allah's hands. But again, don't run away with ourselves. People are at different levels, they can live with different degrees of rest. So do your own introspection, your own life audit, and see where you are, where your family is, and then you can work from there. Then you can move from there. Right? Is that understood? So I think that also answers your retirement annuity pension fund question. First thing is it Sharia compliant. If it's not Sharia compliant, then it's off the table. Because now you want to do planning that Allah's telling you is haram. You can't do that kind of planning. That's not the asbab. That's, you must make tajreed there. You can't use that asbab at all. It's off the table. But if there's a Sharia compliant option, then you can take it by all means. Sometimes it may even be a wise thing to do. But some people, they might not see the need for it. Some people might not see the need for it. And there's not a problem in relation to them not seeing a need for it. As long as they're not expecting handouts, etc. So I hope that's understood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Arih nafsaka ani tadbir. Rest yourself from too much plotting and planning. فَمَا قَامَ بِهِ غَيْرُكَ عَنْكَ. What other than you has undertaken to fulfill on your behalf? فَلَا تَقُمْ بِهِ لِنَفْسِكَ. Don't you try to undertake it yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Make us people of ease. Make us people of rest. Make us people of, you know, contentment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see to all our needs. Right. Well, that's our end for today, inshallah. Are there any questions? No? That's clear? All right. We'll carry on tomorrow, inshallah, with the next one. Let's see. Let's read it. You can think about it. Ijtihaduka fima dumina lak. You're exerting effort in what has already been guaranteed for you. وَتَقْصِيرُكَ فِيمَا طُلِبَ مِنْكَ. And you falling short in what was requested from you. دَلِيلٌ عَلَى انْطِمَاسِ الْبَصِيرَةِ مِنْكَ. Is a sign that your insight is being blurred. That your intellect is being blurred. The ability to use your intellect and insight is being taken away from you. Right, I'm going to say it again. اجتهادك فيما ضمن لك. You exerting effort in relation to what has been guaranteed for you. وتقصيرك فيما طلب منك. And you falling short in what has been requested from you. دليل is a sign or is a proof على انطماس البصيرة منك. Is a sign that your intellect and your insight is being taken away from you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let our intellect be taken away from us, make us intelligent people, but we'll talk about that more, but more about that tomorrow, inshallah. We're in there for now. Wa jazakumullahu khairan wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.